Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Inside the Game with Marcus Douglas as your host, Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and Marcus Douglas, Inside the Game, every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
The game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. I hope you guys are feeling good on this evening. The weather has finally broken. It's 70 degrees outside here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I am excited to talk to you guys. We have a lot to talk about. So many things have happened since the last time we were on air, from free agency signings to players being traded to players being retired. Don't worry about it. We're going to cover all of that on Inside the Game this week. And once again, let me give you guys our call-in number here at the studio. And pay attention, because we have a new call-in number. That number is 713-955-0710. Once again, that call-in number is 713-955-0710. So let's start with a little bit of NFL news. And like you guys who faithfully tune in every week, I really appreciate it. We always give you guys the latest and greatest breaking news in the NFL. And why stop now? Let's go into some NFL news. Later on this afternoon, Charles Clay, tight end for the Miami Dolphins, was signed to a five-year, $38 million offer sheet by the Buffalo Bills. The deals include a whopping $20 million guaranteed and $24.2 million over the first 2 years of the deal. And a lot of you have tuned into the show where we've gone over our hottest free agents that are on the market. And Charles Clay has been making his rounds. He has spent substantial time this offseason up in Buffalo area. So it looks like Rex Ryan is trying to once again cripple a division foe in the Miami Dolphins by bringing Charles Clay into town. And so right now, with the Miami Dolphins having so much of their cap space in flux, and also Ndamukong Suh cashing that $59 million, $0.6 million check he's cashing, that will, some people believe, not allow the Miami Dolphins to sign Charles Clay to this aggressive offer sheet by a young tight end in the NFL that has been proven to be a vital part of what the Miami Dolphins do. And now he looks to take his talents up to New York and play for Coach Ryan and the Buffalo Bills. Let's also get into some breaking news. Matt Barkley, quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, has been placed on the trading block. Chip Kelly has made a number of moves this offseason, and he continues to turn over that roster. He wants competition at every position. And also this week he had, and yes, I am about to say it, Tim Tebow in town for a tryout. And already a lot of people are saying that this was a precursor to what's to come in Philadelphia. And so we will definitely keep our ears to the grind, and we will definitely update you guys on our Facebook page. And you can go there right now and like our page, but continue to listen. Our Facebook page is Inside the Game Facebook page. I read your responses each and every week. And so if you want to know how your favorite teams are doing, feel free to drop us a line on our Facebook page, or you can tweet me at MARQ94. Once again, that's the at symbol, MARQ94. And so that's a little bit of NFL news. And right now we're going to take a break before we get in into an interesting case on this week. A couple of days ago, Chris Boylan, linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers, decided to call it quits after 1 year in the NFL. And so as we go to this quick commercial break, we will be back bringing you some news on Chris Boylan and why he made that decision.
When I was in the NFL, I would use towels similar to dry towel, but they were made out of cotton, so they weren't as effective. So what happens is you have to change the towel probably 2 or 3 times a game. The absorption rate is greater than any cotton towel you'll ever see on the market. What I love about the dry towel is that it absorbs sweat and moisture so well that you don't really have to change it throughout the course of a game. Not 3 or 4 like I used to use on the course of a game to keep everything dry and intact. Also, for you guys who wear mouthpieces, little pocket for your mouthpiece so you don't have to stick it in your helmet. You don't have to keep track of it. You know, in the course of a game, your hands are going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. You don't want to put your mouthpiece in your hands a whole lot, so it's a nice little pocket. After the play, you put it there. Right before you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you grab it back. Bam, it's right there. I used to like to wipe my hands off so I wouldn't fumble the football, to make sure my grip was straight. This would have been perfect. Everything is sealed. Everything is right here on my right-hand side. Easily accessible. I can grab it, pop it in. I'm done.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. Right now, we're going to talk about a young man who has decided to call it quits after one season in the NFL for the San Francisco 49ers. Chris Boylan made news this week when he chose to decide to step away from the game, and this was a interesting decision because Chris Boylan was a third-round draft pick of the San Francisco 49ers on last year, and he stepped up and played a major part of that 49ers defense. And already when you talk about guys preparing for the future, it seems to me that this is going to be more and more common. When you talk about young guys like a Chris Boylan or a Jason Worlds or Sidney Rice, these guys are more conscious of what us older players have gone through. And when they see some of us, not that I'm walking with a cane or anything like that, but they realize that life is more than football. And so when you talk about a young man being in his first year at the NFL, stepping into a major role, because like I told you guys on just last week, Patrick Willis of the San Francisco 49ers decided to step away after 8 years in the NFL. It comes a time in every young man's life where you have to make that decision. And, yes, I would say to Chris Boylan, if I was talking to him right now, You are going to hurt. You are going to be in pain. But you know what? There's a reason for that hurt. There's a reason for that pain. And not too many guys are willing to go through with it. I was blessed to play 12 years in the NFL. I have several close friends of mine who played double-digit years in the NFL, and it has all taken a toll on our bodies. And so many people believe that this will be the new trend in the NFL. Younger guys who have gone to college, who have played in some pretty big-time programs, they are saying that, you know what, I've been playing football since I was 8 and 9 years old, and now that I'm 24 and 25, you know what, my body just cannot take any more pounding. And so what's next? Well, you would hope that he has a promising future by being a graduate of Wisconsin. He seems to be on the right track. And other guys, like I mentioned before, and Jason Worlds, outside linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, too, has chosen to step away from football. And so I think, like others, many people, younger athletes, are going to start to step away from the game. And I'm going to be honest with you, football is a violent game. I heard this quote one time, that if you want to play a contact sport, you play basketball. But if you want to play a downright physical and a brutal game, do not play football, because it will take its toll on your body. And so when I read this article, it mentioned several people in there that have stepped away, like a Sidney Rice, like a Jason Worlds, Patrick Willis. These guys have all chosen their health over their wallets. And so to me, I commend them for, number one, making this decision and standing on their own two feet. It's not worth it going out there getting hurt again, having a concussion. I have been in rooms where my teammates have had concussions, and they've been pressured by coaches to get back out there on the field. They're pressuring themselves to get back out there on the field. And you can only hope that, as time goes on, technology, our equipment will get better. But there are some things that technology cannot stop, and that is a 250-pound running back going full steam ahead at you, and your only choice is to meet that force. And so by Chris Boylan being a linebacker, by Patrick Willis being a linebacker, by Jason Worlds being a linebacker, these guys have taken their hits. These guys have earned their stripes. And so I salute him in his retirement. I tell guys all the time who are thinking about retirement, retirement is not a bad option. I love being around my family. I love my second career. And most of all, I love talking to my callers every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock here on Inside the Game, as we bring you the latest and greatest NFL news. So that was just a little bit about news that was made out in San Francisco this past week, as they already were trying to prepare for life after Patrick Willis. Now they prepare for life after Chris Boylan. And so once again, that GM out there, Coach Tom Sula, who is the new head coach, they have some holes to fill. And where do you go fill it? If you're trying to build in the draft, build your team, you do it in the draft. You find those young, talented players who are willing to come in and play football the 49er way. That's what's most important now as you look to move forward from the players that have retired, from losing a Frank Gore. How do you replace that? And so they look to stockpile their picks in the draft and get some fresh talent into the San Francisco 49ers. Later on last week, Reggie Bush signed to try to fill that hole from Frank Gore that was left, who had left to go to see greener pastures in Indianapolis. So as the 49ers look to, you know, once again fill another major hole, they're no different than any other NFL team. And so once again, that was one of the top stories from this week. And as you guys come back, like I said before, we have some more NFL news. We have mock drafts. we have also some interesting articles on why it was not a good idea for the Miami Dolphins to sign Ndamukong Suh. Once again, stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. We just finished going over some breaking news that came from Buffalo Bills signed tight end Charles Clay to an offer sheet, and that will be very hard to match because of Miami Dolphins' moves early in free agency. And so now Rex Ryan and the Buffalo Bills look to have Charles Clay in the fold, as they have promised him a five-year deal that will pay him in excess of $24 million in the first 2 years. So let's get into some more news. Let's talk, you know, let's talk some takeaways that we can talk about from this week's NFL offseason action. When you talk about GMs, John Snyder of the Seattle Seahawks has always worked his magic. He gives Pete Carroll what he needs to be successful. And so when you talk about stockpiling your team, you want to surround your young quarterback, your Super Bowl winning quarterback, with talent. And he did just that. Jimmy Graham is no longer a New Orleans Saints football player. He is in Seattle. He is every bit of 6'7", 250 pounds. He is going to be a nightmare matchup for let's face it, any tight end, any linebacker. How do you stop a man of this size? And so John Snyder and Pete Carroll have pulled off a trade on last week to send Jimmy Graham, who was chilling on the beach in Miami, who got a call from his agent who told him that he was no longer a New Orleans Saints player, but he is now a Seattle Seahawks. And so when you talk about John Snyder and Pete Carroll, those two seem to be on the right page as far as stockpiling talent, as far as keeping the salary cap under wraps. And you can only do that but for so long, because you can best to believe Russell Wilson wants to get paid. We talked about it more than a month ago. Russell Wilson looks to be the first NFL quarterback with a fully guaranteed contract. I think a couple months ago we read you guys figures like $84 million over 5 years. And so what he's looking for is to take less money, but at the same time be guaranteed his money and make sure that, you know what, if I get hurt, if you guys decide to move on from me, well, there's going to be a cost associated with it. And the favor that I'm giving you is taking less money, but at the same time, I want to be guaranteed. And so when you look at John Snyder and Pete Carroll, those guys continue to make moves in free agency and surrounding Russell Wilson with talent. Let's look at another top story we can take away from last week. Darrelle Revis, former teammate of mine, signed a 5-year, $70 million contract with the New York Jets on last week, a contract that will pay him over $39 million guaranteed, taken to their account. You know, Darrelle Revis has earned $82.5 million in his career. And, you know, when you talk about a young man who's talented, a young man who has been about his business in the NFL, he does just that. He has a very fine, you know, support team and is awful. And he also has a very fine agent in Jonathan Fineside. And I know those guys personally. Sean Gilbert is his uncle. I had a mental loss right there. But, you know, when you talk about a young man who is set to make a minimum of $121 million over the life of his career, you have to tip your hat to him because he's not a quarterback. He is a cornerback. He has proven that he is an island to himself. And so when you talk about Darrelle Revis, he is definitely one of the hottest takeaways already from this young NFL season. And let's face it, some teams still don't get it. When you talk about overpaying for talent, when you talk about not using your assets correctly, look no further than the Oakland Raiders. Reggie McKenzie, these guys came into free agency with a ton of cap room, more than anybody, I think. And so when you look at how they doled out their money, they could have brought talent into Oakland. People want to cheer for the Oakland Raiders. For some strange reason, you have Oakland Raiders fans who still think Al Davis is alive. And if I give you all the talent in the world, if I provide you with the athletes, surround you with good coaches, a famous quote from Al Davis is just win, baby. And, you know, you still have to scratch your head sometimes about the moves that they make. You know, when you talk about signing Nate Allen, 4 years, $23 million. When you talk about signing Curtis Lofton, linebacker who got released from the New Orleans Saints to a 2-year, $18 million deal. Nate Allen wasn't even a starter caliber safety at this stage in the career, but he still received $4 million in sign. And so when you talk about teams still not really understanding what it takes to win, many people bring up the Oakland Raiders. A lot of people will bring up the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have also a lot of cap space. They did sign Julius Thomas away from Denver, but let's face it, the Jaguars need help across the board. They need to keep Blake Bortles upright and his efforts to get better as a second-year quarterback. And, you know, when you talk about coaches' jobs on the hot seat, you know, let's face it, they want to see a winner in Jacksonville. And if Gus Bradley does not win this year, most likely he will not be in Jacksonville. And so when you talk about some teams that, you know, that will still have you scratching their heads, we have some more on this article to get to. But at the same time, I want to take a quick pause. I want to take a break so you guys can take a break to really understand, or you can call into our call-in line. Our phone number here in the studio is 713-955-0710. Once again, that's 713-955-0110. So stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game.
Former Patriots defensive tackle Vince Wilfork, he's heading to the Texans.
I guess he did say that. He announced that he's going there. And this is something we talked about last week. The Texans need a true nose tackle. When you talk to people around the league, he's an old-school guy. But here's the thing about Vince Wilfork I found to be interesting. He played in 74% of the snaps last season. He's turning 34 years old. It proves to me that he's still got something left.
And he still can get it done. I mean, we heard he was in town with his wife, taking a look around. They definitely need the help on the defensive side, so this is not something that's been surprising. We've been talking about this for the last couple of days.
Yeah, you have familiarity both with the coaching staff, with Romeo, and with the scheme that they're running. You're right. Mm-hmm. When you watched Vince last year, and much of the Patriots sub-rush stuff, Vince is still inside as one of the defensive tackles. Now, he's not obviously the kind of pass rusher that ideally you want, But look, this is the kind of situation where this kind of thing makes perfect sense from a schematic standpoint. It's just a matter of whether or not the dollars can be worked out that make everyone happy in the situation.
Welcome back to Inside the Game. I'm your host, Marcus Douglas, bringing you NFL news that you can use. I have the one-man show in the studio tonight. There is a lot of things to talk about in this young NFL season. As we go over the latest and the news stories in the NFL, you can feel free to chime in with us. We have a guest call-in line, or you can reach out to us on our Facebook page at Inside the Game. And as you guys just previously heard, Vince Wilfork is no longer a New England Patriots player. I said that right. He is no longer in New England. As you guys probably already know, New England released Vince on last week. But he reunited with Bill O'Brien and Romeo Cornell down there in what many people are calling New England South, because they are bringing so many players in who understand that Bill Belichick way. And, you know, let's face it, the Texans need to get stronger up the middle. And so they did that by signing Wilfork. He signed a two-year deal worth $9 million that included $5 million guaranteed money. And so when you talk about, you know, what does he mean to a team, he brings you instant credibility. I think for a long time now we have looked over his contributions to his defense up there in New England and what he truly meant to that team. I think Devin McCourty summed it up best. He was still hoping at the 12th hour that Vince would come back. But at the same time, you have to move to where people want you. And sometimes a fresh start is not always bad. And so the Houston Texans lock up Vince Wilfork for the next 2 years to kind of stabilize things in the middle of that defense. He's very familiar with Romeo Cornell. I know they have a lot of former players from New England who have coaching experience, who coach for the Texans. And, I mean, let's face it, you have to go where they want you. The Texans stepped up and offered him 5 years, $5 million guaranteed. Vince, in my opinion, has still a couple more good years left in him. He's only played for 11 years. He's won a lot, he's seen a lot, and he's led a lot of people down the right road. And that's always an important talent to have in your locker room. And so when you talk about Vince Wilfork, you will not be cheering for him any longer in New England, but you can cheer for him down in the Lone Star State. Let's get into some news out of Philadelphia. Before we went on a break, we talk about some takeaways that we can talk about the young NFL season. And there is a lot of people questioning the moves that Chip Kelly has made this offseason. As you guys have heard already, LeSean McCoy is no longer a Philadelphia Eagles player. DeSean Jackson last year found his way out of town. But he looks to stabilize that offense by signing important Dallas running back. The NFL leading rusher on last year, DeMarco Murray, is no longer a Dallas Cowboy. Ryan Matthews, longtime San Diego Charger, will also look to solidify that backfield tandem there and try to make up for what Shady McCoy brought to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Sam Bradford was traded for. You know, a lot of people have said, why trade Sam Bradford when you have a young Nick Foles, who I believe record is 14-2. He is a winner in the NFL. You trade for an injury-prone quarterback who came out of the University of Oklahoma with a lot of promise. But let's face it, he is just not lived up to his expectations. And I think that's important to talk about. We talk about other guys not living up to their expectations. Sam Bradford has not lived up to his expectations. There was rumors early on in St. Louis before the trade that St. Louis wanted him to take a pay cut, and he balked at that choice. He said that I will not take a pay cut. My rehab is going phenomenal. And so he is no longer a Rams, but he is an Eagle. And so when you talk about some changes in Philadelphia. There has definitely been changes. No more Jeremy Maclin. Who is going to catch the ball in Chip Kelly's high-potent offense? Like I said before, he's placed people on the trading block and his backup quarterback. And now there's talks of Tim Tebow coming in town. And I'm not quite sure. I'm pretty sure friend of the show, Princess Cooper, has a take on Tim Tebow coming to town. But I'm not sure if Tim Tebow is what the Philadelphia Eagles need. He did solidify the defense, however, by signing Seattle Seahawks Byron Maxwell to a big-time free agency deal, $25.5 million guaranteed. The Philadelphia secondary struggled down the stretch. Byron Maxwell is a former member, and I do say former member, of the Legion of Boom. He looks to bring his talents to Philadelphia. When you talk about them showing up one side of the field, they still have a lot to do to be consistent on that back end. But at the same time, yeah, the Eagles fans, something that they want to cheer for. I played in Philadelphia several times. They are a spirited group. They love rooting for their fans. They love making it hard for the visiting teams. I'll leave it at that. And so when you talk about some top takeaways for this past free agency week, we still have some more to go on this article. But I will take a quick break here on Inside the Game. But like I always say, when I take a break, you guys can take a short break, because like I said before, we have a lot more news to give you guys here on Inside the Game.
This show is brought to you by Michael Snell and GBSClothiers.com.
Football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. Half of our show is already over, but at the same time, I hope I'm giving you guys news that you can use. I'm looking over my notes right quick as I stumble for a little bit, but I want to make sure I print it off, all of the latest and greatest news. But at the same time, I just find myself sometimes overwhelmed with how much information comes out during the off season. We haven't even begun to talk about the draft because I want to update you guys on the latest happenings in NFL. Before we went into the break, we were talking about some takeaways that we can talk about on this offseason. Adrian Peterson has been another big story. He's had several meetings with the head coach, GM of the Minnesota Vikings. And at this point, I think it might be best for Adrian Peterson. Now, this is just my opinion, and who am I, but a washed-up football player talking about football. But at the same time, it's my opinion that Adrian Peterson might be better off in different colors come this fall. I think that he has it in his mind that, you know what, my team did not stick behind me as a player. I've been out there on the forefront for you guys. in the community, as a player, in the locker room. All I ask from you guys is some support. And maybe they can support him by facilitating a trade that will take him out of the purple and gold and maybe into an Arizona Cardinals uniform. As many people said, that he is looking to make a move. And so when you look at a lot of information that you can take from the NFL free agency period, you know, that's just some information that you can take from that. I can go on and on. I'm not going to do that to you guys because I know you want to talk about the draft. I know you want to talk about some more news. I know you want to get into, you know, the draft is scheduled. Let's talk about that for example. Nowadays, the draft has gotten so complex. Not only do NFL talent take their talents to Indianapolis for the draft, they also have what we call pro days. And what's the difference between a pro day and a NFL draft? Well, in the combine, you have every single team there. They're getting your height and weight. They're getting your 40 time for certain positions. You're having a bench press test because they want to assess your overall athletic talent. And they come up with all kinds of drills for specific positions that they want to see. And so a step further than that is when a team or teams come to your school. And so I was looking over the pro day schedule, and it's amazing about how already, you know, there's so many schools that have been that have had their media day. I mean, not their media day, their pro days. I mean, when you talk about big-time schools like a Clemson and Nebraska, who had theirs on last week, Arkansas and Mississippi State on last week. When you look at the former NCAA champions, or the current NCAA champions, 2014, as a golf buddy of mine told me today, the first true NCAA football champion, Ohio State, goes on March the 13th. So they've already, I believe it's past March the 13th, but I believe they've already had theirs. And so when you look at some other schools on this list, you have California the 17th, Baylor, who has some very good wide receivers on March the 18th. As I go down this list, you have Alabama, Nick Saban will be hosting NFL coaches and trainers, GMs on March 11th. Well, we hosted them on March 11th. March 24th, you have a couple of prospects coming out of Duke and Tennessee, SMU. Let me see what else, who else I can highlight. March the 19th, you have Penn State, San Diego State, William & Mary. And so the list goes on and on. And so when you talk about what do NFL coaches do during the offseason, trust me, they have a lot of things to do because as we went over the list before, there have been some gems found in smaller schools, and I did not name those schools. But at the same time, you know, teams are looking to find the next Marcus Douglas or the next Emerson Martin, who's a friend of the show. You know, these players who go undrafted out of smaller schools, all of these campuses will be having NFL personnel at their doorsteps looking for the next. And those, and I know we went over some big-time free agent names. Let's talk about some teams that have really done some things to shore up their teams. And so when you talk about some under-the-radar signings, the Washington Redskins shored up their defense, and their defense has been a problem now for years. They signed Terrence Knighton to a one-year, $4 million deal as he looks to shore up stuff on the shore up the issues they've had in the middle of that defense. He is a run stopper, just like Will Fork is. Matter of fact, his nickname is the Pot Roast, and he is a legitimate run stuffer. And so when you talk about the Washington Redskins, they are slowly and methodically trying to improve that team. When you look at the Arizona Cardinals, they've signed Mike Mupati away from the San Francisco 49ers on a deal that is reportedly can net him in upwards of $40 million. And so when you talk about them wanting to get stronger up front, they definitely crippled a division foe. Like we said, the Buffalo Bills are trying to do with the Miami Dolphins and signing away Mike Iupati. You know, this is a head scratcher right now. These guys have really not been healthy, have really not made their mark, but they have signed some big-time free agency deals. Brian Arakpo is no longer a Washington Redskins player. He will be donning the Tennessee blue and white next year for the Tennessee Titans. And also they retain Derek Morgan. You know, Derek Morgan, who was only 26 years old, you know what? He's going to play in a Dick LeBeau-inspired defense. And so that's going to be big for him because as a young man coming into the NFL as a first-round draft player, you always want to make sure you never get labeled as a bust. And for a lot of guys coming into the NFL, not really finding their niche, their role, you can say that they are busts. Let's go down the list and let's look at some other teams. The Green Bay Packers were able to retain Brian Bulaga, offensive lineman for Green Bay, one of Aaron Rodgers' beloved friends. He loves having him in that lineup, and it definitely made a game, a difference in last fall when they played Seattle in Seattle by keeping Aaron Rodgers upright. Orlando Franklin signed with the San Diego Chargers, big offensive lineman, can play multiple positions up and down the line, and I really think that's a good signing for the San Diego Chargers. Also making his exodus out of New England, Shane Vereen heads to the Big Apple to be that change of pace back that the Giants have not had in recent years. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. We are giving you this information so you can check your calendars and make sure that you are taking note that the Giants are trying to get better, but they still have a lot of work to do in that backfield. As Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams are still there, he looks to add to that, you know, those tandems, and move that ball forward for Eli Manning. Justin Forsett stays in Baltimore. He was a breakout player on last year, a player that had moved around several times in the NFL, being on practice squads, being in the league, out of the league. He rushed for 1,200-plus yards on last year, and so he is the new replacement for Ray Rice. And, you know, when you talk about Ray Rice, here's a young man who's still going through free agency. We don't know whether to get a chance or not, but at the same time, teams are showing up in needs. Maybe not the flashiest players on the board, but they are getting needs. And if you want to build solid NFL teams, you get a bunch of lunch pail guys in that locker room who only care about winning, who only care about devoting 17 weeks out of the year to their teams. And, you know, a number of these teams, from a Green Bay to the Washington Redskins, these guys are adding those pieces to the puzzle. So stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game as we take a quick break, as we end up with our mock draft and some more NFL news.
Looks like in the story first reported from Comcast, he's going to be signing with the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are willing to roll the dice. Obviously, they lost Darren McFadden. They have Latavius Murray out there in Oakland. They did sign Roy Helu from Washington. So they're bringing in a different crew of young backs to see if one of them can step forward. And Trent Richardson looks like he's the latest in a line of backs to join the Raiders this offseason. That addition coming today.
And you see the Raiders announcing and welcome Trent Richardson to the fold. By the way, Richardson, as you said, replacing Darren McFadden. Those two guys over the last three seasons had the fewest yards per carry. Richardson, the very fewest, second fewest. Darren McFadden, who is now with the Cowboys. Obviously, as a lifelong Cowboy fan, would I love to have Greg Hardy on my team even after he had to serve potentially six-game suspension? Sure I would. He can really, really rush the passer. Those guys are hard to find. He proved that in Carolina, and he would be a welcome addition on the football field to my football team. Now, if I were the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, I would say no to Greg Hardy. But this is just me personally. I found his accuser's testimony during the trial that Kerry mentioned so disgusting to the point of being evil that I just couldn't stomach it. I would just say, even though he got only probation, 18 months of probation, suspended sentence, so you can say in some ways he was exonerated, I just don't think I could live with it. That's just me personally, and I'm sure there are some owners who couldn't live with it. Apparently, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones can live with this.
I have several positions on this, Skip Bayless. Number one.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and that is just some press conferences for free agency. And when you talk about players on the move, Trent Richardson is no longer in Indianapolis, and Greg Hardy is on the radar for the Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks. A lot has been said about Greg Hardy over this past season. He missed 15 games this past 2014 season and for a domestic violence case that he was going through. He was exonerated a couple months ago from that case, but the sting is still there. And so when you talk about a team taking a chance on Greg Hardy, what does that mean? Well, first of all, you have to make sure that his head is in the right place. You have to make sure that, as he looks to jumpstart his career again, he is an asset to your locker room. He is an asset to the community. He can fly under the radar off the field, but at the same time, you want him to be that young, ferocious, 26-year-old defensive end who showed so much promise over the last couple of years. Matter of fact, he's had 34 sacks, since 2013. And that's not, that's not including last year because, just like I said, he was out for 15 games on the commissioner's exempt list. And so when you talk about Greg Hardy, let's face it, some team will give him a shot. Some team will give him a chance. Talking about chances, let's talk about Trent Richardson. Now, here's a guy I watched play college football, and I respected the way he played the game. I just don't know what's been his problem in the NFL. Whenever you have two football teams that give up on you, well, something cannot be wrong. A lot of people will say, well, there's a lot of things wrong with the Cleveland Browns right now. Well, Indianapolis and Coach Pagano, they run a tight ship. I played for Coach Pagano. I know that he is a second-chance coach. You would only wonder, has Trent Richardson looks to join yet another team, did he wear his welcome out in Indianapolis? Not suiting up for, a number of games last year. When you talk about him not living up to the hype, Trent Richardson played with Mark Ingram at Alabama. I think he had his best years with Mark Ingram in Alabama. Now he looks to kind of reignite his career out there with the Oakland Raiders. And so when you talk about Trent Richardson really trying to get his career back on track, he looks to do that. But I don't know if the Oakland Raiders have the talent around him. And can Trent Richardson be a 20-plus carry a game guy like a Maurice Jones-Drew did when he was in his prime, like a Frank Gore did for the Bay Area? He looks to replace, and Richardson looks to replace Darren McFadden and a Jones-Drew. Jones-Drew is another one of these young men who played a lot of great football, but has chosen to step away from football right now. Right now, he does so much off the field that right now, it's just not worth it for him anymore. And so when you talk about Trent Richardson, we wish the best for him because I want to see a young man run the ball like he did in his days in Alabama. He is only a couple of years removed away from being drafted. And so when you talk about can Trent Richardson get it, you know, get things going in Oakland, the jury's still out on that. Let's talk about another interesting article that I read on today. When you talk about giving a free agent a lot of money, well, things happen. There's a domino effect that happens after that decision. And one of those decisions are by the GM, by the head coach, by, you know, the powers that be, how can we create cap space? And so a lot of people, and I read an interesting article today about the decision that the Dolphins made to sign Sue will haunt them. I mean, let's face it, I read you guys some information early on, 5 years, $38 million that was promised to Charles Clay by the Buffalo Bills. The Miami Dolphins are going to have to pony up some money in order to keep Charles Clay in the fold. But they gave Sue $60 million. And so whenever you give a guy that much money, you not only expect to get the best out of him on the field and off the field, but you expect for him to make his teammates better. How can he make his teammates better? Well, he can lead by example. But that example has not always worked out in free agency, a la Albert Haynesworth. When you talk about some other guys that have gotten paid but have not lived up to the expectations, I don't think Sue will be that Albert Haynesworth kind of figure. So he is a dominant football player. He's not a big stats guy. So if you guys are wondering how many sacks is Sue going to have this year, Ndamukong Suh is not a sacker. What Ndamukong Suh does, he draws double teams, and your talent around you, Cameron Wake, your other talent around you, they have to get to the quarterback because, you know, he's drawing so much attention to himself. And so when you talk about will this decision haunt the Miami Dolphins, I think we will not know that until a couple years down the road. But I never fault a guy for getting his money. And Sue made it clear this past week when he had his press conference and said that it was about the money. And it should be in football because you are a business. If I could echo the words of Jay-Z, I'm a business. And Ndamukong Suh is a business. He got what he deserved, and somebody stepped up and paid him a king's ransom. And I applaud this young man for getting it, but at the same time, those decisions made by the GM, those decisions made by the head coach to get rid of solid NFL players like a Randy Starks, a Jared Odrick, you know, those decisions will haunt you if it does not work out. And right now, Mike Tannenbaum and those guys down in Miami are on the clock because they need to play some young talent around Ndamukong Suh and that offense who looks to lose Charles Clay. So let's take our last commercial break, and I come back with our mock draft, and we will wrap up here on Inside the Game.
Turn down for what? Turn down for what? Turn down for what? Turn down for what? Turn down for what?
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. We only have a couple minutes left. Before I go over the mock draft that I pulled off of NFL.com today, I want to go over some suggestions for your teams that we've gone over today that have lost some big-time free agents. And so when you talk about Dallas Cowboys, they've said it time and time again, you can put anybody behind that line. I don't think so. And so a lot of experts have them taking Georgia running back Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon out of Nebraska. When we talk about the Detroit Lions, how do they fill the hole of Ndamukong Suh? Well, I think he's already in town in Haloti Ngata. When you talk about Detroit trying to get young, they have a lot of money spent on offense. And so they will look to also build in the draft. I think one of the major teams, one of the major discussions has to be around the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots are the Super Bowl champs, but they need help in the secondary. That was a strong point for them on last year, having Darrelle Revis, having Devin McCourty, having Brandon Browner. That was a plus for them. Reggie Bush was in town, but he chose to go out west. And so when you talk about what my teams have, the needs are endless. When you talk about young talent, you can never have enough young talent on an NFL football team. And let's talk about my San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have been decimated by injuries, by retirements, by free agency signings. On both sides of the ball, when you talk about a Mike Iupati, when you talk about a Frank Gore, when you talk about a Patrick Willis, a Navarro Bowman, a lot of people do not know his health status. Everybody says they're 100% during all season, but trust me, those cleats will go on in a couple months where you're going to have to prove it. And before then, a lot of teams like to have a mini camp to assess their team needs. This is a time where your injuries have healed up. This is a time where you can show those coaches that we don't need help in my position. Go choose somewhere else. And so when you look at the mock draft, and I just run through this, the top 10 list has not changed. A lot of people have Marcus Mariota going up the boards. I checked the wire before our last break. Marcus Mariota is going up the board. Jameis Winston is still number one. And you can always find out news that you can use here on Inside the Game.